Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley. I'm here with the one and only Bowman Wright.
There you go.
Who's playing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the arena stage production of All the Way. Thank you for coming down here, sir. I appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
So I'm sure most listeners remember, even if you didn't see it on Broadway, you remember Bryan Cranston playing this role on Broadway, LBJ. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves him from Breaking Bad. Who's playing it down here in arena stage, your co-star?
We have Jack Willis, who was the original LBJ.
Yeah.
He started it in Organ Shakes. Guy is amazing. He's amazing to watch. He's amazing to be in the room with. He's fluent. And what's great about it is that it's like watching a reincarnation of the man. And without him, I don't know what his process is. I don't believe he's trying to sound or do anything like him. It's just watching him navigate it, and it's very like inspiring to watch him. So
he's the original. He's the other originalist. There's an arena stage reference for it. Awesome. So, and then you play Dr. King, obviously. Mm-hmm. And this, before we get into your role in this show, this is not your first time playing him, right? You played him in arena stage before.
I played him in a show called A Mountaintop.
Yeah.
Which dealt with him as the man rather than dealing with him as the icon, which was a little bit different than what this is. Because this one is he's directly dealing with something that's politics. He's dealing with political situations. And then we kind of see him as a politician, too. We don't necessarily see him just as the Martin Luther King that we all know. We see him as a man who is dealing with politics and trying to do things that he believes that are right.
Right.
So.
And everyone remembers, you know, if you saw Selma, you remember the relationship between Dr. King and LBJ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we actually interviewed David Oyelowo, one of my favorite interviews. He's mm-hmm. such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when the movie came out, it got these rave reviews. I loved it. I gave it 4 out of 4. But a lot of people were also questioning whether LBJ was presented properly. I remember there was a whole thing about that. But so how is it portrayed in this play, the relationship between those two?
I mean, honestly, I'm one of those people, if you really want to deal with someone's relationship, you should just start reading history and start learning it on your own. This play, it doesn't really deal so much with their relationship as far as like how much they talked and how much they dealt with one another. We see a scene between the two of them where they're discussing some issues, but you don't necessarily get the full blown of their relationship. This is actually about, the show is more about voting rights, the civil rights bill, how important that was. And I believe that's the most important thing for us to see as an audience because of where our country is today. About how important it is to be involved in your local politics, how important it is to be involved in national politics, but actually be involved, not just see what you watch on TV and then go by that, but do some reading, do some research, and learn who you're voting for and what they do and who they are.
Do your homework.
Do your homework on these people, because once you go, when you see our show, you'll see these different senators, Senator Russell and all these other great senators back in the day, but you'll really know what they're about. And then you can actually say, well, whether or not I want to be about that. I think this show really touches on that. I think it touches on issues that this country has, just being angry and going by emotions rather than going by what we believe and know is right.
Right.
So anyway, so that's what I think this show is. I even though LBJ, he was a wonderful, I believe he was a wonderful president. I mean, he had his faults. His Vietnam is what really killed him. But right. Outside of that, this man really did care, you know. So,
yeah. What sort of period? Just in case, maybe they haven't seen it on Broadway. What sort of period of his presidency does it cover?
This covers right after JFK dies.
Okay.
We start to play. You see him.
Are we in Dallas? Or him getting on Air Force One?
No, we're not in Dallas. Okay. This is like a couple days, maybe a few days. This is right when he's about to do his speech, his inauguration, not inauguration speech. What do they call that speech?
Swearing in
speech, I believe. I can't remember what that speech is, but we watch him give the speech, and then the play starts, you know. And basically, this was around 1963.
Yeah.
This, when we
started, he was killed in late 63.
Yeah, so this is when the play starts in 63.
Okay, and it takes us all the way through what?
It takes us all the way. We go through the signing of the bill. We go through the Civil Rights Bill. We go through him getting elected and what that was like for him, the whole process for him getting elected. And then basically the end of the play is when he becomes president.
Okay, so it's him becoming president. It doesn't go into his later in the presidency when he decides not to run again.
We don't go that far.
Gotcha.
We don't go into Selma. This play actually predates Selma. Before Selma. And then right after that, that's when King goes into Selma because there are certain things that King needs to be done that hasn't been done.
So you guys take on the Civil Rights Act of 64, but you leave the Voting Rights Act for Selma and all that.
Yeah, so Selma got that part, and we didn't get that far.
Well, see you go. You know, you saw the movie, and you're aware of that latter half of it. Now come see All the Way, and you see sort of the build-up to
You'll get all the story.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as for you playing King then, so while LBJ's doing this, you know, assuming the highest office in the land in 63, 63 was King's, that was when he gave I Have a Dream, right? Mm-hmm. So is that covered in the play, or is that sort of the prologue?
We don't touch a lot about what happened earlier that year. What we do touch is really right when JFK dies, then everything goes forward. What I would like to say too, though, which is odd in a way, because as we go through the play, we learn new things about it. King may not have been a president. But the way that he was looked at and treated was almost like he was another kind of president of the United States, because some of the same things that we watch LBJ deal with his faculty, with his staff, you'll see the same things on King's side and how hard it was and the pressure that he was getting, not just from, you know, the civil rights, but he would get from the union supporters, he was getting pressure from everybody the same way that, not in the same way, but in similar ways of LBJ. And it's weird to see the two men deal with one another and have to deal with their problems. And we watch that unfold in the play. So I there's a lot of similarities between the two men.
Well, and he's the one with the monument on the mall. So there you go. He practically was sort of the behind the scenes president right there, like you're saying.
Well, he pushed a lot, you know, I mean, and he had his own people against him, but as well as people that, you know, that was always against him, you know. But he still, this is like, to me, he's an idol in the sense that he, even though he's just a man, and when I mean that clearly, he is just a man. He's not an angel or a saint or anything like that. He's just
human.
A man.
Yeah.
But what makes him so amazing is that him being just a man, he took on things that were bigger than him. And he didn't take him on to be talked about as, hey, he's the best man in the world. He didn't do that for bragging rights. He did it because he thought that he was doing the right thing. He believed he was doing the right thing. And to me, that's even better than an angel or a saint, because this is somebody that has his faults and still, even with the faults, is trying to do great and trying to do great for other people, not just for himself. And actually, we got to remember King, when he died, he was in debt. So all these speeches you see him giving and all this other stuff wasn't going to him. It was going to the cause. So you had a man that was dedicated.
Right.
Dedicated to making life better, not just for African Americans, but for people of all colors and shapes and sizes. So he's a really great man. And he makes you, and it's always a little weird playing him, because you want to make a play him as a man. You don't want to play him as the person that you think about when you watch TV.
Some larger-than-life figure.
Larger-than-life figure or some saint. You know, you want to play him as a man because you know it's more important for him to be seen as a man rather than be seen as something that's not of this world.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You were also, weren't you also in, you were in Headley, right?
Mm-hmm.
At Arena Stage? Yeah. We had Andre DeShields came in, and he was the original Wiz for all you listeners. And director, what was his name? Timothy Douglas came in, and I got to tell you, we were sitting in that back studio, and it was almost like a spiritual experience, man. We were listening to those guys talk, man. We cracked the code of all existence in there, man. I'm telling you. No, but it was great. And no, but in all seriousness, they said something. DeShields said something that always stuck with me, and I always try to remember it when we run our entertainment page. They said that the root words of entertainment means to hold and to change, and mm-hmm. they went into this whole thing about how when we go to the theater, that's sort of what we do, because you're held in the theater in the dark, you're forced to watch this thing, no distractions like you're watching TV or anything, and hopefully by the time you come out, you change. So mm-hmm. how would All the Way sort of hold and change the audience? Let's say they come in, they've been grappling with politics all on cable news and everything, but they come see this show. How might they be changed when they walk out?
I think the great thing about theater is that you have to listen. You're going to be changed because you have to listen. Otherwise, you're just sitting in the dark.
Yeah.
But which is another whole other thing. That's actually a great analogy. But if you sit down and listen to the play, what the play tells us is the things I believe that are still important and we should really make sure we're paying attention to. One is making sure that you understand who you're voting for, mm-hmm. what these people are thinking, how are they thinking. Two, how important history is to the present and to the future. Douglas has this great saying, if we don't pay attention to, I'm not going to say the right words.
Frederick Douglass or Frederick Timothy Douglas? Douglas.
Frederick Douglass, I'm sorry. Frederick Douglass has this great saying where he says, if we don't pay attention to the past, the future is dull. Yeah. Our present will mean nothing. Because what we'll do is we'll repeat we'll repeat our history. Yeah. And in this play, if we don't pay attention to what the things that are going on now in our country, we will wind up back in those days. I don't know if we're too far from it. But I will say, if we start paying attention and start listening to one another and really listen, because just because someone is saying something that you don't agree with mm-hmm. doesn't make them an evil person. It just means that we need to start having conversations, mm-hmm. actual conversation, right. not yelling and screaming or belittling each other on national TV or talking about each other in ways that doesn't actually really help us. Mm-hmm. I believe in our show, what you're going to see is people actually having discussions and why they feel the way they feel and the fear of losing something or not being able to achieve something. Mm-hmm. It's what this show is about when LBJ has so many great speeches where he actually talks about people having the fear of losing something that they have and having something that they have, but the fear of not having that anymore.
Right.
You know,
of having to give up something.
Having to give up something.
Right.
And people are very comfortable in the status quo, mm-hmm. which is not a good thing because we're always supposed to be growing and growing together, not growing apart. I don't know it well enough to talk about it, so I'm not going to. But LBJ has another speech that I kind of glanced, so I'm not going to talk about it. But he talks about why he believes we are in the state that we were in at that time. Mm-hmm. But it mirrors this time. So
it's almost like he's talking to the current.
It's not like he's talking to us. So please, I would always ask that if you come see our show, don't just walk away what you find in the show, because the show's going to teach you a lot. It's going to help you. But what I believe is take a chance to read some of these guys. Go and read some other Dr. Martin Luther King. There's a lot more than what you have in your schools. And then also start reading about LBJ. Also read about all the characters in there. And you will learn something, I think, positive. And try to hopefully learn something positive. But anyway.
Yeah. So that would be taking it all the way. Is to go beyond and do the research.
Go beyond and really pay attention to your country. Pay attention mm-hmm. to what's going on with people and poverty and what poverty actually does to people. And pay attention to what when we don't pay attention to, you know, us that are doing well in middle class or upper class, when we don't actually pay attention to our surroundings and environment, knowing that if one of us is doing better, all of us can do great. So we can't just look at, I think the play says we can't just think about ourselves and what we're doing with ourselves and how we are doing well. But we have to look around and see, you know, if somebody's, it just shouldn't be, there never should be a hungry person if we can help it as a group, as a country.
For sure. What's, in case listeners are curious, what is that All the Way title? What's it referred to in the play?
That's his campaign slogan, All the Way with LBJ.
Ah, okay. Like I Like Ike or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was pretty good. I thought that was really good.
It's pretty good. All right. Well, there you go. Okay, cool. Well, definitely come out, see All the Way, the story of LBJ and Dr. King and so many other pivotal figures back in that time. It's April 1st through May 8th. at Arena Stage. Go out and see it. I'll see y'all out there. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Thanks,
yeah,
sir.
A lot of great DC actors in it as well. So
yeah,
it's really great to be and know them.
Tell me about yourself, because you said you came down here from Philly, right? Is that where you were born and raised? Or
Oh, no, I'm actually born and raised in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
I went to undergrad in Philly, and I went to grad school, UCSD, under the tutelage of Kyle Donnelly, who was also our director, which was great. I got to work here twice before this, and this time I get to work with a lot of – well, last year I worked with some DC actors, and it's just amazing to work with. These guys are impressive, talented, smart, powerful, and learn a lot from just some of the guys I'm working with, and it's just amazing. And I love DC, so it's just one of them things. I love the people here, but I definitely love the artists here. As far as the actors are concerned, that's who I know the most. But it's a great city.
It definitely is. So this is a little reunion then for you and your director from
Under
the tutelage.
Yeah, she's working me hard though. She's not taking it easy. But
what did you guys tell me? When do you remember when you first worked with her?
When I first worked with her, it was in grad school. We did Joe Turner's Come and Gone by August Wilson, and I played Loomis in one of my favorite roles I played in grad school, and still one of my favorite roles I played out, even though I played some great roles, it's still one of my favorite roles. I think I love that play.
Yeah.
And she was great in that, and she was, what I love about Kyle is that she allow you to be you in the room. She allow you to experiment through you. There is a freedom of the way you can work. And then, she, like any good director, she'll shape and mold it until it makes sense to the whole story. But she's a great storyteller. And honestly, every director that I've worked with at the arena, from Robert O'Hara, who directed me in Mountaintop, from Tim Douglas, who directed me in King Headley, they're very, very smart. Very, very, they let you grow in the room. And that's what I like about the arena, because the arena does that. The arena has, you feel like you're in an arena. but you do feel like you have that freedom to actually tell your truth. Not a lot of theaters really want you to do that. They want you to make sure the audience are happy with you.
Right.
What the arena wants you to do is make sure you tell the truth. And then if you do that, more people will be more open to hear what you say. They may not like what you say all the time, but they will respond. And that's the important thing. Theater is about responding. It's about it's about learning and changing and responding. And if you're not learning and changing and responding, you're just watching wires.
Yeah.
On bright lights.
And sitting in the dark.
And sitting in the dark.
In more than one way.
In more than one way. So.
Awesome. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming in, man. April 1st through May 8th, all the way at Arena Stage. Thanks.